15th edition of the Roots Aviation Podcast. Today we're recording live from the World Roots 2018 conference program sponsored by Huawei in the beautiful city of Guangzhou, China.
Today we've got an expert panel for you who are discussing technological innovation in the aviation industry.
The panel is moderated by our very own Nigel Mays, Senior Vice President for Consulting at ASM. Shortly we'll hand over to Nigel, who will introduce the various panellists. As ever, thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast.
So first of all, we have Mr. Zhen Taihua, who is the Chief Engineer of EBG Traffic at Huawei Technologies, otherwise known as James.
Yes.
Okay, we have Dr. Carlos Caduca, Consulting Director, who you just heard from CETA. And next we've got Micah Van der Vint, Airline Marketing Manager at Amsterdam Schiphol. And finally, we have Sam Shukla, who is Airline Consulting at Sabre Airline Solutions. Now we're going to try and cover four topics this morning. We're going to have a look at travel habits. We're going to have a look at technology and data used in route development. We're going to look at distribution. And we're also going to have a look at airport cities and the future direction. So first of all, I'm going to give you two quick stats from my perspective about how technologies influence the way we travel and our travel habits. Now, nearly 40% of travelers use a smartphone to explore destinations and flights and accommodation before they travel. And that's a huge percentage. And when you actually look at the amount of bookings and spend that is going on in the aviation industry at the moment, and that are booking through digital services or booking through online, it's now nearly 40% of all travel bookings in the US. That's nearly 190 billion. So that's 190 billion of aviation sales are currently being booked through online. And as a result of that, companies and businesses are changing. So if you have a look at how, for example, Ryanair is setting itself up in the European market, they've created Ryanair Labs, and they're promoting themselves as becoming the aviation, the Amazon of the travel industry. So businesses are having to adapt. Sometimes businesses that we think are quite traditional and are quite stuck in their ways, or you may say a little bit archaic, they're having to be pulled into the 21st century. So I'm going to sit down, enough of me, and we're going to hear from our panelists. So the first question I want to put to them is, how has technology influenced our customer travel demand and travel patterns? So perhaps James, can you talk a little bit about how you believe technology has influenced the way we travel?
Maybe I'd like to use this microphone a bit better, because this microphone isn't going to work. So. Actually, you know, just now our President Chen have already introduced some solutions from Huawei. You know, Huawei is a technology company. So actually, we introduced many of our solutions. So also, our experts show many slides to show in the future the digitalization, maybe the big data, the IoT, the AI, all of the technologies. But President Chen have already showed from three levels we can provide our solutions to support for that. The first layer is about the device, right? From Huawei, we have our chipsets, we have our, we can say IoT operation systems, and also, you know, our smartphones. So all of this can help you for our travelers to book in, right? So also we have many, you know, Barcelona exhibition, right? Huawei has already shown some AI technology in our cell phones, right? How to use that to guide the for the new experience for the bookings, something like that. And the second layer is about our network. So actually, you know, for our traditional service is about the network. So no matter it's wireless or the fixed network, All of this, we can have our connections make our traveler experience much more better, much more efficiency to transfer the data much more fast. Okay, so the app layer is about the cloud. So based on the cloud, just like some, even though you have the data, you need to store in the data center. So we provide our data solutions, also the big data, IoT platform to support this. So we think from this layer, these solutions will help our travelers, our aviation, our airports to improve the experience, the customer's experience, operation efficiency, and also the security and safety. So I think this our solution to support these three main aspects can be help on that. Yeah, okay.
And can we just, in terms of Huawei, do you know how many of your, how much of the travel booking in China may be done through a mobile phone? Do you know what sort of percentage that is? Would that be higher? I imagine it must be higher than elsewhere in the world. Do you have a feel for how, you know, in the Chinese market, are people booking using their phones?
Just so you mean that because mobile phone come here, so we will use the mobile phone to book the flights. But you know, what's the impact from the mobile booking to the traditional booking ways, right? Actually, for this market, that's the new technology. It's like something. Maybe just now, Carlos have already introduced it. It will be have impact to our traditional business. But actually, it will bring us more and more the opportunities. So this is another way. So the traditional one, maybe you use a mobile phone, but maybe later it's not a mobile phone. Maybe something just like watch. Maybe some other portable equipment or device, or maybe wearable device, right? But this will be bring more and more ways help the travelers to book to booking. So I think it's maybe some impact to the traditional service, but maybe big much more bigger for the opportunities. So I think the market maybe will be come to a new stage. Maybe new things will become. So I think it will, for us it will be optimal. Okay.
Now that's fascinating. So at the moment people are using their phones, but they could be using something else in the future, like a watch or some other device. No, that's interesting. Okay, so Carlos, in terms of your perspective, in terms of travel habits, how do you, from a city perspective, how do you think travel habits have changed?
Well, the two things. What we do, CETA does annually, a passenger annual IT trend survey, and from that survey we have 97% of our passengers that have been interviewed, they carried a mobile device. 18% of those passengers carry three devices. So it is quite a large number of passengers that carry, at least there is one way to communicate with them. But going back to the question that you asked, you know, how technology is changing the behaviors, is we look at today the internet. If you don't have a space on the internet, I doubt you'll be able to sell. You won't be able to reach out to your customers. A lot of the sites, if you look at Expedia's and all of that, so they have recommendation engines as well. So they know what you've booked the last time, so they keep pushing a lot of that information. So it is quite, I think from that perspective, from a consumer perspective, it's great, but also the downside of that is we are now bombarded with too much information to the point that I think I read one consumer report, basically passengers or customers are basically saying they want radio silence, because there's too much information out there. And I think this is a balance that we as a part of the industry need to find.
And Micah, so in terms of Amsterdam Schiphol, you've got a big digital program. Do you try and influence people's travel habits through the data and the information that you collect as an airport? And how do you think that the technology is changing those habits?
Yeah, so we actually do have quite a big digital program currently at Schiphol. That's not so much in the booking space, but what we try to influence is how people actually, when they come to the airport, and we want to inform them really well so they know where to go at the airport and what time they have to be in certain places. On your original question, like how is technology impacting demand, I really agree with the previous speakers. I think what also technology really has helped to make promotion really accessible to a lot of parties. So it's not only from the demand side, but I think also very small parties can now promote themselves via different forums. So that's made really available for a lot of people and products as well.
But Carlos is talking about making it, people are expecting it to be personalized and expecting it to almost filter out the rubbish because there's too much information out there.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. If I look at Schiphol, the way, for instance, our digital program, but also how we look at the passenger experience, we really want to make the experience as personable, what you really need at that specific point of time in that moment. So that's our vision where we want to go. So at the moment, it's really focused more probably on groups. But in 2 or 3 years from there, we want to know if I enter the airport, what are your needs today? And we want to make sure we meet those needs.
And Sam, have you got anything, any other thoughts just on the way that travel habits have changed and from a Sabre perspective?
Sure. I think that there's a lot more effort being put into identifying customer behavior and passenger segmentation, looking at the different types of passengers now compared to before. Before there were just leisure and business, and now with all the different technology that's out there, we can identify passengers that are falling in between those two particular areas, right? So customer acquisition is very important, and it's far different now than it was 10, 15 years ago. Folks used to go to travel agencies and just kind of already know where they want to go. These days, these different tourism boards and vacation packages, they're finding out who their target customers are and approaching them via social media. So the entire customer acquisition process has changed now compared to some years in the past.
Do you think, we said, talk about the amount of information that's out there and the amount of just information, not only on the experiences, but also on fares. So I was reading that 60% of travellers said that budgets were important and that they'd got their deals and promotions online. So 60% of travellers, two-thirds of people, are getting their deals online and they're comparing fares. Do you think that's going to make it more difficult for businesses like airlines and tour operators in terms of trying to increase margin, or do you think because of the amount of information out there that it's going to put a pressure on the price? Or do you think through personalization of it?
That's right. Airlines are focusing quite a bit on personalization now, and you know, understanding their passenger base and then targeting them with very specific offerings, right? And you know, certainly from the technology perspective, we see that customers appreciate that more than blanket marketing, just getting a bunch of different advertisements every time you log into Facebook or something like that. So quite a bit of research and development in the space of you know, finding what interests customers and then targeting them with packages. And so that is certainly something that will continue as a trend, I think, going forward to identify the real opportunities versus those that may not materialize.
Can I just say one thing? In one of the surveys that we've done, it's 38% of our surveyed passengers, they are in the category that you mentioned. They are those ones that are triple check their journey, they go and recheck, they go check and their compare their offers, the destinations and everything else. But there's all a different sort of a category of passengers. There are, I think there's more percentage, about 10-15% of those passengers who basically are more adventurous. They don't really care about, the only thing they are interested is about price. Very cheap offers, whatever is cheap, they are actually going to jump onto it. So I think it goes back to what Sam and I think what all of us have been saying is segmenting the customer. And I think understanding who they are and what their buying behavior is, I think you will be able to make that personalization and your offer more attractive.
I would add one more point. one of the ways that at Sabre we help identify passengers for airlines are by equipping them with shopping data. So understanding where certain passengers want to go, you know, length of stay, point of origin, point of destination. Shopping data is becoming more and more relevant in the travel space.
So in terms of travel habits, then what we're finding is people have got more information out there. They've got more choice. They're willing to explore new destinations, but at the same time, their habits are becoming. We understand the habits more clearly, and we can begin to personalize it around that. Let's just move on and talk a little bit about route development then, because everyone's here talking about new air services. Data in route development. Micah, perhaps start with you, because you're our airport here that's obviously using data to help pitch new air services to the airlines. What sort of data do you use currently, and what data do you think might be out there in the future?
Yeah, so I've been in route development probably 5 years, so I can't go back as long as you can. But we've always used, at the airport I work at now, my previous airport, with different data sources. So yes, there's the ticketing data, but we also have our own economic models where we really try to predict the traffic. And what I really like, what we're working on at the moment in our, for instance, the forecast that we make for our operational planning, is that we start to use artificial intelligence and machine learning. And that's what technology is doing, that even in our forecast, we try to make it more clever, and that it gets better and better every time. So I'm very excited about. But in terms of sources, we use ticketing data. We have, of course, yield data. We haven't really looked into the search engine data yet, but we have multiple sources, and then we complement that with our own intel and our own economic models as well.
Sam, perhaps coming in from a Sabre perspective, obviously people be using Sabre data here. Is that future proofed in terms of, will airlines and airports still be using that data 10 years, 20 years into the future? You'll still be gathering data sets that those airports and airlines be able to use?
Yeah, good question. I do believe that in 10 to 15 years from now, they'll continue to use data to help them make decisions or to help them attract airlines to come to airports like Amsterdam. I do also believe that 10 to 15 years from now, we're going to have much more granular data than years in the past. So for example, at Sabre, we now have cabin level data, so that if you're trying to attract passengers from a particular city or destination, now you know the demand by first class, business, premium economy, and economy. That's an important evolution of the data. And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we have developed applications for shopping data, so that, let's say, for example, folks from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, want to fly to Amsterdam. Well, there isn't any flight today, and perhaps Delta doesn't offer any connections from Detroit or Atlanta. But with shopping data, that would help you realize, as an airline, that there is a market. Folks do want to go from that city to Amsterdam for a visit, and that will help create new routes and new destinations for airports.
So you call that shopping data. Is it effectively search data?
That's right. The shopping data is collected by GDSs. So when you're on the web and you're searching for a destination, you know, you're looking at different lengths of stay, you're looking at different departure dates. That's what it captures.
Okay, and I've got to ask the question, James, because people often talk about the use of mobile data, and I do know there are experiences or clients that I know of that have used mobile data in determining where people are traveling to and from. And that's essentially when you turn your phone on, or what should I say, when you turn your phone off, when you get on your aircraft, and when you get to a destination and you turn your phone on, it obviously logs where you've come from and to. So I know that there are destinations that have used that data to establish how many passengers have traveled between two points. From a Huawei perspective, is this data that you collect, or do you, is it something that's available?
So actually, I want to say that for the data, to collection of this data, it's very easy, right? Because when you switch on, when you switch off, and where are you, you can use the GPS to get the location, and then know where you are and where you are from. It's very easy. But from Huawei perspective, we will never collaborate this data, because we are respect our customers' data ownership. We are respect our customers' data privacy. So we will never to collect this data. So we just like our president introduced that Huawei, we have these two strategies. One is the platform. Just mean Huawei will build the platform for all of our, no matter it's our the partner, the ISV, independent software vendor, or our customer. We will just provide this platform. One is the network platform, another one is the cloud platform, and the IoT and the video. We provide this platform. The last strategy is the ecosystem. We just provide this platform to our partner, make them have a very good performance, good steady platform to develop the applications based on our platform. So this is our strategy. We will never collect data. We will help our customer to process their data, but we will never use their data to earn money. This is the first point. The second one is that I just mentioned that for collecting this data, it's very easy. We can store this data on the mobile phone, right? Just mean all of this data can be stored on, in your cell phone. Then you can use data, this data just like the AI to do the analysis for the data. But this data is still on our customer's cell phone. It does not belong to Huawei. Okay, this is my answer.
And Carlos, have you got anything to add on in terms of route development, or does CETA provide any sort of data that or airports use in their route development activity?
Not directly, but what we work with airports to look at how they could optimize that infrastructure so they can actually get new airlines coming in, providing sort of a new slot. So they're pretty much on that side, not necessarily on creating demand.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to distribution, and we've got 15 minutes left. Now, I've got someone from Sabre here, so hopefully you can provide some clarity on IATA's NDC distribution channel that they're developing, and perhaps give a little bit of perspective from Sabre's view on how you're hoping to sort of develop your systems alongside what IATA are doing with the NDC.
I will provide as much detail as I can without broaching any confidentiality, but NDC, new distribution capabilities, is certainly an area of focus since 2012 when IATA rolled out the mandate. And practically every technology provider is at level 3 at the moment, from my understanding. However, only a couple of IT providers, such as Sabre, are really providing an end-to-end distribution set of capabilities. And really, that comes from the investment that happens to understand customer journey, customer travel, seamless travel, inspirational shopping, things of that nature. I know that Sabre and a number of other technology providers are investing pretty heavily in rolling out NDC, working with airlines across the globe. And it's very exciting to see the industry continuing to transform itself over time so that travel becomes painless, seamless, and more and more interesting over time. So,
but and in terms of the airlines are trying to, through the NDC, they're trying to sort of get back a little bit of ownership of that customer relationship, and that's something that they're trying to do. And I know from an airport perspective, Mike, you'll say actually the customer is also a customer of ours, so we want to own that customer process as well. So how does everyone get the opportunity to own the customer? Does anyone become a winner or loser? Perhaps, Micah, you could come at it from an airport perspective.
Yeah, I'm happy to come. Look, as an airport, we have, of course, multiple customers. So airlines are our customers, but so are their customers, the passengers. So I personally believe that no one owns the customer. The customer really owns him or herself. I think that's probably where we're heading towards, that it's not up to the airline. I think we all have contact with the customer at different touch points, and I think it's in all our interest to make sure that that journey is as seamless and efficient and as pleasant as possible. So I think it's a bit old thinking to who owns the customer. I think it's really the customer himself.
Okay. So the comment has been made in recent times that the big search engines like Google, they have so much data, and that data is so powerful that ultimately they could determine how people travel and book their travel. They've already got their distribution tool that they use, and they already have their own cargo airline. So could someone like Google move into the aviation space and actually provide travel, or could they actually just outsource that travel to an existing airline like American Airlines or Delta or KLM? I mean, do you think that those technology providers will want to play in that space?
That's a very tough question. I think in 10 years from now, who knows? I think it could be really different. That if you look at the brands and how people search, that's going to be really important. And for instance, smaller airline brands, how can they remain relevant? So in 10 years from now, the world could be very different, and the Googles and the Facebook could be more powerful in this industry.
Okay, we've got about anything
I'll
else?
I'll add a couple of points
to
that. I do think that a Google or an Amazon might leverage an airline partnership or create one in order to offer additional discounts on products to a point where seats are very, very, very cheap, but they're counting on a certain percentage of passengers to do some purchasing on these flights rather than watching TVs or eating meals, So I do think that at some point a Google or an Amazon might think about linking up with an airline from that perspective. Yeah.
So I have some to comment about this, because I think this is a business model. It's different by different companies. Just like Google and Amazon, maybe their business model is mainly focused on the customer's data, because they will use this data to earn money to analyze user behavior, something like that. But Huawei's strategy is we are just a platform. So the business model is decide how to own the data. So I think this is the difference. So maybe to answer this question.
I suppose in China it would be whether Alibaba has the power of distribution, that they could do something in the travel space more than they currently do already, and actually go to the point where they're providing travel. Okay, let's Carlos, let's get you onto the subject of smart cities, and you covered a little bit about that in your presentation before, and I want to talk a little bit about the journey through the airport and talk about how that may evolve in the future and how technology may play a part in that. So already it could be paperless, it could be contactless in terms of touching a person. How far are we along that stage of becoming completely smart in the process through the airport?
I don't think we're too far away. If we look at, there are some trials using biometric, for example, identification, so you can actually now check in, drop your bag, so security is now incorporated. So I would say you can now digitize all of the touch points. I don't think it's going to take that long. 5 years, I think we could be there in terms of all the sort of the processes that are digitized. I think the challenge is going to be what you're going to do with the baggage, because at the end of the day, and you see a lot more now, airlines offering baggage to be collected at home, so then the passenger comes to the airport without their baggage. The challenge for an airport is going to be how to deal with the baggage, where you're going to accept the baggage, when you're going to inject that baggage into the system. There are security, there are regulatory constraints and compliance that have to be met. But I think from a passenger alone, traveling seamlessly in all the different digital touch points, very, very short period of time.
Micah?
Yeah, I would like to add to that. We actually have a program at Schiphol. It's called Seamless Flow. So that's very much in line with what you just described. So we have done already a few trials. And our vision is for passengers to only once link their face to their check-in or their boarding pass and their passport. And then everything is seamless from check-in, border control and boarding into the aircraft. So you don't need to have your passport and your ticket available, it's just your face. Mm. So we've done some very successful trials, both boarding and border control. So I agree, we're not far away from that.
But how far can that stretch away from the airport? So can it be taken into, it's already been taken into hotels, but how, and taken to the home, but how far can that go to the workplace? Can that go to points in the city? You know, can it go to train stations? And is it almost everywhere?
I would say so, yes.
I mean, I think that would be the idea. If you look at some of the airports are basically pushing, they want to, particularly in Europe, because of physical constraints, they don't have the capacity or the infrastructure to do it. So for them, it's to push the process outside the airport. And yes, there are technologies, so you can actually do biometric identification using your mobile phone. So I think for Europe, absolutely, you can push that process from the home.
And Michael, is that something that Schiphol is...
Yeah, at this stage, in the first stage, it will probably be done at the airport. But in a later stage, I agree. We already at Schiphol have a program that's called Previum, where so my passport is linked to my iris. I've got a scan, so that's set up as long as my passport is valid. And I don't need to see any border control office anymore. I just scan my iris and go through it already. And that's already happening. That's been in place for a number of years already.
And in terms of just you as a business, I'd quite like to just move on to Schiphol has developed its digital program and it's embraced the digitalization. There was a survey done where they said that 18% of executives in travel businesses said that their business was digitally mature. So either they're very skeptical or they don't believe that they're embracing it enough. Was there a cultural change in Schiphol, or how have you embraced the technology within the company?
Yeah, so we are actually in that phase now where we really want to be more agile and more digital as a business. So I think at some stage we adopted the technology and developed a digital program, and that really was the start of now what we're in the midst of a cultural change where we want to, just work more agile in a more agile and digital way. So we actually split our IT department from our digital department, and we got a lot of HR got involved. So that's happening at the moment, a big cultural change.
Okay. So there's a Schiphol lab.
And also probably one point I forgot to mention before is as Schiphol, we're probably very relevant in the Dutch market, but we really believe that we work with partners. So we make a lot of APIs available that then airlines can integrate into their apps or like the booking.coms. Like we don't think we own the customer. We really want to make it easier for our customers. So we work with every partner that want to works with us just to ensure that the customer has the information available at the app or the site they usually look at.
Okay, that's interesting. It's interesting you've taken it away from the IT team, and you know, some people will get experts or consultants in like CETA or to help them or provide some expertise on that. But I suppose there's lots of different things you could do. Okay, there's going to be an opportunity to ask a few questions from the floor if there are any. But I'm going to ask one final question from me, which is basically, I'd like to give me one piece of technology that you think, if we sat here 10 years' time, what would that one bit of technology be that people will be using in the travel industry and thinking, wow, that's so much different to when we looked at it in Guangzhou 10 years ago. So perhaps I'm going to get a Sam first while I hand the mic over to James.
Yeah, I, I, I mean, I've said this a couple times, but I think shopping data is going to be great for the industry. I think blockchain technology is going to take off in the years to come. It's in the development stage, but I would say that those two are going to be the ones to watch.
Yeah, I probably have I fully agree with this. If I look at Schiphol, at the moment we're faced with a limit of slots, so we can't take any more movements. And we are really looking a bit differently at travel, where, for instance, we would love shorter distances to be substituted by an alternative product. At the moment, that's train. For instance, Amsterdam, Brussels, we have a lot of flights. I think Hyperloop might be the one that potentially could really change. Like, our approach is to really focus on sustainability. So I hope that technology will really help us to reduce our carbon footprint and our noise impact as well. So I'll go Hyperloop.
From my perspective, there'll be one, I think, blockchain, in terms of, particularly when you start dealing with EU GDPR, data protection, and I think that will be an interesting way of exchanging critical information. The other one is artificial intelligence, and I think it is changing the way we are doing, the way we're going to operate our business, because we are now going into a data-driven ConOps, and I think it's going to be more predictive from that perspective. And the last one, I think it's probably not too much, but I think robotics is another area that is going to change the way we interact, less so with people, but more with machines.
Okay, so for me, I think I will not talk about which one technology about that, but I will use the case from the Baiyun Airport from Guangzhou. Just told us that for once, one is one cloud. I think actually in the future, really, no matter private cloud or public cloud, maybe both hybrid cloud for the airport and airlines will be to take this technology to move forward. But I think it will be very fast, not for 10 years, maybe 1 year it will be there, okay? So the second one is about the one network, because until now, many network for the airport in China, so we see actually maybe five network for them, maybe for one business, one network. So it's very complicated. But in the future, actually, I saw many operators, airport outside of China, they only have one network. Just which the virtual network technology to make just one network for all the business. So this is the second one, is the one network. The third one is one map. So I fully agree about that, because actually, you know, if you go to the airport, you will see many, many systems, right? You will see many, many maps. So if you can make all of this technology to connect with each other, to use the big data to connect all of this data to integrate with each other. So one map is enough. You can manage all of them. And the third one is one ID. So that's what they are already mentioned, that just like face recognition, one, sometimes we talk, sync token for the airport. So I think this one will be very, very fast to us, because we have already saw something in Baiyun Airport to implement for that technology. And the third, I want to add one more, is that the IoT for the, we can say it's e-tag, or we can say it's electronic baggage tracking. Just now, Carlos already mentioned about that, right, for the baggage tracking. So to use the IoT technology to realize for that, just like to meet the 753 rules from the CETA, right, I think it's also on the way, so it will be very fast. So this is what I'm thinking. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that was great. And a wide range of technologies that have been suggested there, right from Hyperloop, blockchain, AI, robotics, electronic bagging. There's lots and lots of technology there. Are there any questions from the floor before I wrap up? Has anybody got a burning question? Or does everybody want to wait until we're off stage?
Hi, David McMullen from Aviation Week. There's no doubt that the technologies that you've been discussing today are going to be key growth drivers over the next 10 years. But we also know that there's some significant challenges that businesses are going to face. One of them is a skill shortage. You know, we understand that through our own research. But can each of you maybe just tell me where you think is a key challenge or a roadblock in actually bringing these technologies into the business?
That's a great question. So any challenges that we face, one of them, David's suggesting skills. Are there other challenges?
Yeah, I can start with that. I understand your point, and I've actually seen it in some of the areas that I have where I've managed certain products. And I think what you have to do is create technology that's going to be consumer grade from a user experience, user interface perspective, easy to understand, easy to use, because you may not have those deep subject matter experts that had existed in certain departments in the past, right? So we've certainly seen it in a number of our products where you may have had deep experts in pricing or revenue management or planning and scheduling, and now the folks sitting in front of that technology are people from, let's say, a sales department, or folks that have just recently graduated from an MBA school, right? So we've had to invest quite a bit of money in redesigning these technologies such that they have user experience and user interfaces that are easy to use.
Yes. So in terms of your question, like shortages, I think where we see a risk is in data scientists and IT people and digital people. So the focus we've taken on is to really make sure as an employee you're very relevant and people want to work with your company. So we have lots of programs in place where we want to make sure we have the right culture, the right environment, and also a brand that people are proud to work for. So that's how we try to stay relevant. And the other day I recruited for data analysts and I got 100 applicants in this market. So that's our approach.
From our perspective is we're now partnering with lots of universities as well. So we do get involved in a program. So we bring graduates. We give them projects to deal with specific data problems, for example. We work with both technology companies, technology universities, as well as aviation-related universities in the UK. In Africa as well, so we see also in developing economies, I think there is a need to bring that skill sets. So we're doing part of our CSR is to look into that, but partnering with local universities in most of the countries where we operate as well.
Okay, actually talk about the challenges. Actually, Carlos have already in the slides already introduced many of the challenges about that. But in my mind, because I wanted to talk about the technology part. Just like Carlos mentioned that, use the new technology, right? New technology to do the innovation, something like that. So I think because at this moment, actually for many of the airport and airlines, they will, how to say, if you ask them to build the big data platform by themselves, to build the AI platform by themselves, it's very heavy asset for them, right? But if you use a cloud, you can have all of these things. Just you can use something. You can private cloud. Maybe something can be public cloud. But it will be very easy to get the AI and big data capability. So I think maybe this is a challenge for them, but it will be resolved by the cloud ways. So okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions on the floor? If not, then what I suggest we do is we'll... Oh, no, we've got one more. Lucia, in the middle.
Hello, my name is Bruce from Airports Corporation of Vietnam. So I have a question. So is this undeniable that technology helps a lot in the... aviation, airline, and airport development, but in terms of security, so I know that you collect personal data from customer, from passenger, sometimes for the purpose of security safeguard. So do you think that you might face some challenge or some dispute, objection against data collection in terms of privacy invasion? Thank you.
So we haven't touched very much on privacy. So just how do you collect data and do it in such a way that it doesn't breach data laws or data rules? Carlos, through CETA and your customers, you'll collect data?
The biggest challenge that you have is if you are going to collect data from a European Union citizen, it is a challenge because EU GDPR has extraterritorial jurisdiction, so you won't be able to collect. There are ways you could bypass that, but you have to make it very clear why you collect that information, what you're going to do with that. But it is a challenge, and that's something that EU GDPR now is into effect. So it is a challenge for any company that has to deal with European Union citizens sort of a data. From our perspective, we just have to make sure that we clearly follow the GDPR. So we had to do an intense audit in terms of our systems to safeguard and guarantee that data and privacy.
Mike, have you got?
Yeah, I have nothing much to add. Like, I think in the European Union, the regulation is very strict, so we have to comply with that. So we're very limited, or we have to follow those regulations. Yeah,
I can tell you from the Sabre perspective, GDPR is a company-wide initiative. It's been going on for about 12 months. A number of us have sat in on the initiative, the strategy, ensuring that the technology adheres to GDPR rules. So we do take it very seriously.
I was going to add one thing. Because of GDPR, for instance, we're not allowed to use databases. We are, but you have to give like your consent that we can put you actually on our newsletter. So for instance, we're running a competition now that you can win a year of free stroke waffles just to get our newsletter database up and running again, because that was just wiped out.
Just one thing, with regards to security, you know, as long as you don't identify who the individual is, you could be okay. You could, but that needs to be double checked with your legal counsel. But from as long as you don't identify that this is Carlos and this is Micah, from a security perspective, you should be quite okay.
Okay. I'm being told we're going to wrap it up. So we've covered a lot of ground in less than an hour. So we've covered travel habits, we've covered data and route development, we've covered a little bit about distribution and airport cities and airport processes and the way that technology can be used. And we've got some great ideas and thoughts about where travel will, where technology will be used in travel in the future. So I'd just like everyone to give a big round of applause for my panelists, and thank you all very much for your time and for listening. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, there's another 14 over on iTunes, which you can download.